Session 72, July 20, 1964. Reading from the early sessions, Book 2 of The Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I am pleased that we will now enter into the secondary stage of your education. You can be said to have completed the kindergarten level of achievement and training. I say this not to minimize your efforts so far, but only to give you a hint of how much is still to come. We will still be involved for a while in the discussion of matter, and the discussions will be very important from many viewpoints. Form is not a characteristic of matter despite appearances. Matter in itself does not possess durability. It is in itself, therefore, incapable of either growth or deterioration in your terms. We may as well carry this further right now, in spite of certain dangers of misinterpretation that could, but I hope will not, result. Matter is, as you know, formed. Matter is the result of molecular composition. An object is composed of matter, this is true. Your outer senses then perceive that matter as particular, differentiated, separate objects. Rob notes, by now Jane was speaking at a slower rate, with quite a few rather long pauses between phrases and or sentences. Seth, objects exist, and yet objects in another sense do not exist. I have told you, for example, how you and others construct, say, a television set, a chair, an image, or a table. Using energy, you manipulate existing atoms and molecules into a certain pattern which you then, and others like you, recognize as one particular object. The object then does, in this sense, exist. The fact is, however, that it exists as a particular object because of your intimate construction of it into a particular pattern, and because of the recognition you give it. Rob notes now, Jane walked back and forth in the couple of feet of space between our long, narrow coffee table and the divan, gesturing as she talked. Seth, the space between this couch and table is as filled with molecular structure as either the space taken up by the couch or the space taken up by the table. The matter contained within the space taken up by the distance between them is all the same. You simply have not constructed of the atoms and molecules any pattern which you call an object, and which you recognize. Objects, then, are really arbitrary designations given to certain arbitrary divisions of atoms and molecules as a whole. There is no objective universe, and yet there is an objective universe. This is not hedging the matter, if you will excuse a pun, and the subject will take much further study on your parts. You must act as if there were an objective universe. The world, or field, that you presently inhabit is real, definite, on your level. The fact that its reality is only limited to your level and does not extend to other fields must not tempt you to discount it. And yet, while you must behave in a large manner as if your universe were inherently and basically objective, you must still retain the knowledge that this apparent objectivity has great limits, even particularly speaking. And a too great dependence in a world of objectivity can lead to a psychic imprisonment, which is unnecessary. In a distant future, even in your field, the limits of the so-called objective world will clearly be known and demonstrated, and a great freedom for mankind will result. Study and practice with psychological time will show you the validity and strength of that inner self, so that you will clearly see that it is not completely bound to the so-called objective universe by any means. Matter is not an imprisoning form. It is a means by which consciousness expresses itself within the limits of the physical field. I now suggest your first break. Rob notes, break at 9:27. Jane was dissociated as usual. It might be interesting to note that while Jane was delivering this material, she strolled around the room without a sign of discomfort on this very hot and stuffy humid night. Her skin was dry and fresh-looking. On the other hand, sitting with my clothes stuck to my body, I had to place a cardboard under my right hand in order to avoid soaking my notepaper. Jane resumed in the same quiet manner, with some rather long pauses, at 9:35. Seth, Objects, therefore, are arbitrary designations, divisions that you set up. You perceive portions of the endless sea of molecular constructions. You form portions into separate objects that are actually no more separate or different from the whole sea than is one burst of sea spray from another. That is, one burst of sea spray, while separate for a moment, is like all other sea spray in its basic components and construction. It can be shown, and we will go into this, that form is not a characteristic of matter. You will have to look elsewhere for durability and form. Your cause and effect theory, again, is responsible here for many distortions, such as the idea that the matter of, say, a flower grows from matter of a seed directly. Such is not the case. Matter in your field is undifferentiated by nature, so to speak, and it is the complicated human abilities that give it form and meaning. I have mentioned that expectation has much to do with individual constructions, and indeed this cannot be stressed too strongly. The mechanisms involved in the actual construction of matter are all intertwined and closely connected. You give constructions their appearance of continuity by continually creating them in line with your expectations, based upon, among other things, previous constructions in the apparent past. And these expectations are the result of psychic communication between yourselves and others, particularly from parents, who give the child his first conceptions of the environment which, indeed, his parents have created. In all cases, constructions will follow the line of expectation, and often a vicious circle is initiated, where the environment created by an individual will then reinforce the very distortive conceptions that caused it to begin with. On a particular level, later, we will go into steps that can be taken to offset such an unfortunate liability. Indeed, you have both yourselves begun to operate much more efficiently in these important areas of expectation and construction. Recognition of many of the facts that we are discussing this evening will be of benefit in your psychological time experiences. Since you construct objects, you can therefore construct them more to your convenience when you realize that matter can thusly be manipulated. There are, of course, different methods of construction suitable for various fields, and in some instances, the same atoms and molecules can be utilized by inhabitants of more than one field. In this case, of course, the inhabitants of the different fields remain unaware of each other, and only see or recognize the particular pattern that they have imposed upon the atoms and molecules in question. This is not contradictory. I suggest your break. Rob notes break at 9:58. Jane was dissociated as usual, and again she was unbothered by the heavy heat while delivering the material. My writing hand was by now somewhat tired, though I hadn't been overworked this evening by any means. Jane resumed in the same quiet and deliberate manner at 10:06. Seth. Matter, atoms, and molecules represent but one aspect and one single dimension of a far greater reality. You can manipulate only the portion of this reality which you can perceive. Therefore, your manipulations are extremely superficial, as far as their effect on the larger reality is concerned. This is the first time, I believe, that this particular subject has come into our discussions. Yet our fifth dimensional early session hinted in this direction. Rob notes, although Seth has given us relatively little on the fifth dimension, he has made many references to this one session. See the 12th session of January 2, 1964, page 60. Notice also that this material was obtained 60 sessions ago. And as far as my memory serves, Seth has not contradicted himself on this fifth dimensional material in any sessions that have taken place since then. Seth. You are playing with the very outmost skin of a reality whose true thickness and depth is presently beyond your comprehension. I am using the terms depth and thickness to aid you. They are meant for their intuitional value and not to be necessarily taken literally. Nor is this material itself in any way meant to suggest that the attempt for knowledge is futile. By no means. Only that your own conceptions must first enlarge and not be imprisoned by the limitations. Value fulfillment represents an extension of the inner self in its journey into this reality. The reality can be manipulated only after its existence is known. We are not going to have a long session this evening. I am certainly not giving you any summer vacation. Nevertheless, I do go easy on you now and then merely because I like to vary the intensities of our sessions, as this is a most effective teaching method and various portions of the subject matter cause different energy expenditures. Rob notes, Jane had again been taking some rather long pauses as she delivered this material. Seth, I always like to have much energy on your part as reserve. It is true that in almost all cases, our winter sessions will be most intensive for various reasons. The matter of this reality, of which you know so little, will be the basis for future discussions, and indeed your inner senses will aid you in the perception of some of its facets. Energy constantly changes. Form is not a characteristic of energy, any more than it is a characteristic of matter. As a rule, no form imposed upon energy can long endure. The form cannot long endure. The consciousness behind the form that imposes the form does endure, because while energy continually changes and does not retain imposed form, it is in itself conscious, and its consciousness endures. I have explained that even consciousness does not always use its full potentiality, in the light analogy of the other evening. The entity represents that part of consciousness which is aware of the other compartments of itself. This is enough on this evening. We have gone quite far into some new material, and I wish you a most fond good evening. Rob notes, end at 10:25. Jane was dissociated as usual. She said she could feel Seth abruptly leave when we reached the end of the session. He's gone, she said. She is of the opinion that Seth likes to deliver his material in batches, whether they be long or short. My writing hand felt no fatigue now, nor did we get to ask about the Hubble Roberts material included at the beginning of this session. Jane said Seth chose not to bother with it tonight.